Hi, everybody. This is Andy Elford, the host of the podcast, All Andy Elford. And tonight's show is a special live edition of All Andy Elford, as we do our show on Facebook Live this evening. So tonight's show is unedited, unrehearsed, and full of content. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Elford.
And a shot and a goal.
54
runs in the span, I'd really shut out.
Dumbino!
A hit to a home run.
Come on,
Jeff.
Way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo-choo, it's time for All Andy Elford.
Where do I begin? First of all, before I go on my rant a little bit more tonight, I do want to apologize. We didn't do a post-game show last night. We were updating all of the Matrix system as well as the app was being updated. So I do want to apologize right off the bat and welcome you in to another edition of All Andy Elford tonight right here on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight, as tonight is a Facebook Live edition of All Andy Elford. So if you have questions, comments, go ahead to put the comments on the page tonight, right here on All Andy Elford. Where do we begin? I am frustrated. I am beyond frustrated. I'm pissed off. How this team performed the last two series against Indianapolis and Cincinnati. This team that we have seen these last two nights just remind me of the young team that we saw at the beginning of the season. We can't get anything going into the offensive zone. We are hanging back so much. And nobody, and I mean nobody, is setting it up. Nobody is setting up the play. They were all dancing around these last two nights. You know, I appreciate Melzack and Strack doing the game. But Strack, I like Strack doing color. But he needs to choose what he says lightly. And I'll say that. And this game and this series is now going to be determined by what happened tonight in game two. Plain and simple. We will recap game one and game two. We'll have Wes Carr on the podcast tonight to get his thoughts. But I'm going to lead this all off because this is ridiculous. What we witnessed these last two days is absolutely ridiculous. How good this team has performed in the last eight hockey games. And to have this happen, did this team get lost in the potato fields of Boise, Idaho? They can't find the Christmas presents that are in the back of the closet, let alone put the puck in the back of the net. It's because Idaho is better than us, and they know it. Absolutely better than us. In every single fashion of the game, whether it be transitioned into Toledo's offensive zone, covering up, blocking at the blue line, to not have Toledo get an opportunity to come into the zone. And Toledo is screwing themselves by letting their goaltender get hung out to dry in so many plays. It happened last night with Sebastian Cosa, and Cosa was carrying the team. Not Hawkins, not Green, not Bliss. No, it was the bleeping goaltending from Kosa and Lehtonen. And I'm going to say this. Strack said it in the broadcast. Well, we got to go back to the drawing board in for game three, and we got to get under control with that. You know, it's a little too late to go back to the drawing board. It's game number 11 of the playoff series, and you're down 2-0 to the Steelheads, or to the Stoolheads in some aspects. This game frustrates me. This really bothers me. This game really bothers me. He said to go back to the drawing board. And then he backtracks on it. He backtracked on it and said, well, maybe we don't need to go back to the drawing board. Because what's what got us to where we're at. But for the love of God. For the absolute love of God. Other players have to step up to the plate. And he said it in the second intermission, which got me. Well, you know, we're seeing the key goals of Gordy Green and Bliss and Hawkins. If those three can get scoring, then the rest of the, then it's all going to trickle down to everybody else. Here's an idea. It shouldn't be relying on all of those three key guys. Where's Hensick? Where's Vero? Where's Curdy? Where's Meyer? Where's Sabrango? Where's Albert? The captain has to step up to the plate. Plain and simple. If he steps up to the plate, it's going to count. Those goals are going to count. And I am just sick and tired of Toledo letting the goaltender hanging them out to dry. It was Kosa last night. Tonight was Lehtonen. They're just letting Idaho come right into the neutral zone and put the puck in the back of the net. And they are not. They're just watching the puck. They're absolutely watching the puck. And it's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And my favorite thing. My favorite quote. Keep your stick on the ice. Keep your stick on the ice, Hawkins. Don't be coming up the ice looking like this. Coming up the ice looking like this. Give me a break. You keep your stick on the ice, put the deflection and block it. It's called defense. If you don't do that, if you're ready for three ice, go to three ice. If Hensick's ready for three ice, go to three ice. Because this is ridiculous. I mean, for the love of God, this team and how good it has become in these last two playoff series. And they just get outscored 6-0 in two games out in Idaho. In Idaho. Now, don't get me wrong. Idaho is a really, really good team. And I told you Idaho possibly in six, but now it's shaping up that it could be less. It could be less, folks. And here's where I said, and I said to you guys that this game was, the series was determined in two folds because of this game. I got to go back to the power play situation in the third period. The opportunity that Toledo had to put the puck in the back of the net, and what did they do? They just passed it around. They had three shots on net in that power play. Three shots on net. Three. The power play going into the series was at the top power play at 26.4%. Their penalty kill was at 91.2% beginning of the series. They have let Idaho score three power play goals this series. Let me just say this. We're in trouble. it's the writing is becoming more and more apparent on the wall. And I hate to say that, how great this team has become this season and how great they are after what we witnessed these last two games. My wife and I are both convinced that this series might be done. Because Toledo has no drive, no effort, no running. They just looked flat. They looked as flat as a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi. As flat as that. And it was, it's just, where do I begin more and more to dig this in? You know, and then we get to what happened last night in game 1 with Andrew Sturts. He gets a 5-minute boarding call and a game misconduct. Now, the league did not suspend him. They gave him a fine. But Watson decides to pull him. Starts Albert. Why isn't Albert starting this whole series? Better yet, why is he not playing this whole playoff series? You are the captain of this team. The young guys on this team look to you as a veteran, and you're not stepping up to the plate. True, you want to go into coaching, and you're a great coaching mind. Don't get me wrong, you're a great coaching mind. But the team comes first, and then what comes on, it has to go what's on the ice, not behind the bench. Hensick's got to step up to the plate more and more. You wanted to come back for this playoff series. You wanted to come back and play with Hawkins. Step up to the plate. I got to give credit to Sabrango and Vero blocking shots. You know, they're stepping in front, blocking shots, and they're doing a great job at it. Well, let's turn those legs around and get the puck to make a play and possibly get it down the ice to put the puck at the back of the net. Because Sturts is just absolutely just killing us. This goaltender from Idaho is absolutely killing us. Play it simple. He's absolutely killing us. And then the defensive side. Meyer doing a good job. But, you know, and he had a couple shots tonight that he put on the net. And there could have been a couple plays that made happen. Curry at the same time, too. Putting pucks in front of the net. It's just that Idaho knows the play, knows what's happening, and knows this team very, very well. They were ready for us. Even though this Allen series was tough for them, they only lost one game out of this. You knew. I knew, you knew this was going to be a tough series. And it's just proving it. When Toledo is outscored 6-0 in these two games. And then, like I said, leaving the up to the goaltending. Giving Kosa, leaving him out to dry in game 1 and leaving Lethemon out to dry in game 2. You can't just do that. You can't just stand around and look at the puck and stand at the puck and just watch the puck go by you and Idaho just come walking in and score. You can't have that happen. You honestly can't have that happen. But what happened? They go right into the zone and score. Right into the zone and score. This is bad. I'm telling you this right now. I said Idaho in 6. If they get 1 in the Huntington Center, this series is done. Plain and simple. Toledo has never played from behind in any of their playoff series this season. They have played from behind last year against Florida. And if you look back at it, in the Western Conference from last year, they were down 1-0 to the Utah Grizzlies, and then they rallied back. This is a different team. This is not Utah. This is not Cincinnati. This is not Indianapolis. This is not Fort Wayne. This is not Kalamazoo. This is not Allen. No. This is the Brabham Cup champion, Idaho Steelheads. Not the Stoolheads, the Steelheads. They are for real. And this is big. This is absolutely big. I mean, this series is huge. And now down 2-0 in this series. I don't know what to say. Except let's recap it right here. I want your comments. Give it to me. Do you feel like that, you know, Toledo's done for? Because I think they are. I think Toledo's done. I think this series is done. It's over. Even with Boise still, but with the Idaho Steelheads still having to come to Toledo to play 2 games. And I don't appreciate that Strack and them are saying Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, the 3 games at the Huntington Center. It could be 2. It's guaranteed 2 at least. We'll see. We'll absolutely see. So let's recap what we saw last night. It was a late night, of course. And like I said, I do apologize that we didn't do the podcast last night on All Andy Elford right here on the All Andy Elford Network. But nothing going right for the Fish in this game. You know, it was, you know, the back and forth went in the first period in last night's game. We're going to recap last night's game first before we get into tonight's game. Idaho did get on the board at the 4:11 mark of the second period. Toledo was outshot in the first period, by the way, 13-10. As Cosa would stop all 13 shots he faced. But in the second period, Miller capitalizing for his second of the playoffs from Matt Register, the former Fish, and Keller. And it's 1-0 Idaho after 40 minutes of play. Idaho out shooting Toledo 24-20 in the 2 periods. Then in the third, a costly penalty for Andrew Sturts. Now, Sturts did not get called, get suspended. He was fined by the league today, but he was not suspended. However, Dan Watson decided to bench him and give him a scratch, and John Albert replaced him tonight, and we'll get to tonight's game here in just a second. But a 5-minute boarding call turns into the opportunity for Idaho to capitalize, and they did as Pelton Bryce gets his 5th of the campaign on the power play from Kluta and Hendricks. And it is a 2-0 Idaho lead. Toledo then pulls Sebastian Cosa. And Kerman gets the 4th of the season from Register into the empty net. And that was the final, as Idaho gets a big 3-0 win over Toledo in game 1 of the Western Conference Finals in the Idaho Central Arena. Toledo outshot by Idaho in the game 33-29 last night. Toledo 0-for-2 on the power play. Idaho 1-for-4. Toledo had no goals, no assists, no points. Idaho 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points in the game. Like I said, Sturts 5-minute boarding call, and he got a game misconduct out of it. Cosa 30-of-32, save percentage of a point, 8.95. Steen, the save, perfect shutout, stopped all 29 shots he faced in the game. Now, you look at the plus-minus for the Fish in this game. Yesterday, Curdy, -1. Meyer, -1. Drew Warad, -2. Hawkins, -1. McKenzie, -1. Green, -1. Tatayev, -2. McCourt, -1. You can't have minuses in this playoff series. You can't. Opportunity after opportunity. You just can't. just can't. It's 3 stars. Pelton Bryce, the number 3 star. Miller, the number 2 star. And Sneed, the number 1 star. By the way, time of the game, 2 hours, 24 minutes, 4,883 in attendance. And they were busy in downtown Boise, Idaho for that game because they had Luke Combs happening over at Boise State at the Blue Turf. He was having a house show there on the at the football stadium, and it was 90 degrees. So I'm not going to complain on the ice surface because the Toledo faced the same thing when they were in Cincinnati, and they just absolutely dominated in Cincinnati. But that's because it's Cincinnati and not Idaho. So there's that. And now we get to tonight. It just did not, they looked absolutely flat in all aspects of this game. They just looked absolutely flat. And I just don't understand what's wrong with this team. Why they're so flat. It's not the altitude. They went out there early and got out there to get used to it. They got used to the facilities. I did see a report from Mark Monroe that they were struggling with their hotel situation, but that doesn't give you the, that's not an excuse for how poorly you performed. But tonight, game 2 at the Idaho Central Arena, bigger crowd, 4,897 were in attendance to watch this one. And Idaho jumped out to the early 1-0 lead as Murphy gets his 10th of the playoffs, leads the league in playoff goals with an early 1-0 lead from Miller at the 17:54 mark of the period. And it was 1-0 Idaho after 20 minutes of play. Idaho had 21 shots on goal on John Lethemon. Like I said, Idaho came out strong, and Toledo left John Lethemon out to dry in this game. And especially into the first period. Into the second, Idaho capitalized late into the period as Dume gets his 3rd of the season from Olowski and Hendrick. It's 2-0 Idaho after 40 minutes of play. And Toledo just looked like they couldn't get anything going. They couldn't put anything on Sneed at all. At all in this game. It looked to me like they were just absolutely just coasting for this game. They couldn't get to the blue line. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Toledo outshot in that period 11-8. They were outshot overall 32-20 after 40 minutes. And then in the third period, a bad penalty by Sabrango on an interference call. And it was going to be a breakaway, no matter what the situation was going to be. It was going to shake out to be a breakaway. Sabrango then gets called, and you could tell that the frustration level had finally hit for the Fish. Gets the penalty call on him, and Idaho delivered and put the game away. As Keller gets his 4th of the season from Pelton Bryce and Domoski. It's 3-0 Idaho. Toledo tried their best to get at Sneed, opportunity after opportunity. But again, I will say it again. You have to keep your stick on the ice, no matter what the situation is. If you keep your stick on the ice, you're going to get a play. And Hawkins just skating up the ice. Stick up in his chest. Give me a break. And I don't care, you know, I'm one of those guys on this Facebook Live as well as on Facebook. I don't give a damn about Robert Scott Bacon. You shouldn't comment, should be posting about, you know, negativity towards the players. I don't get free stuff like you, Robert. Plain and simple. I don't get free stuff from you, from the Walleye. I tell it like it is. That's why I always say, I've been watching the same games you were watching. But I have the nerve to say what's on my mind, and you have what you could say right here on All Andy Elford. But the Fish, the Walleye, get fried up again in game 2, 3-0 over the Idaho Steelheads. Lethemon 35 of 38, save percentage of a .875. Snead again, stopping all 33 shots that he faced tonight. A back-to-back-to-back three-shutout game performance. Unbelievable. Toledo outshot in the game, 38-33. I'll take it as this. Like I said, you could take it as two things that happen in this game. You could take it that the penalty on Sabrango that cost them the goal to put it away for Idaho in the game. But in my eyes, the situation that ended this series for the Fish in this game is the power play that they could not capitalize at the 6-minute mark of the third period to the tripping call by Price. If they would have capitalized there, it's a 2-1 hockey game, and the momentum would be going back in favor of the Walleye. You take it in those two realms. If you take it in, I take it as the power play that could not capitalize, because Toledo was 0-for-2 on the power play. They're 0-for-4 on the power play this whole series. Idaho, with their one power play goal, are now 1-for-3. 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points. They have 16 points to Toledo's 0. Idaho had 6 minutes in penalty minutes. Toledo had 8 minutes in penalty minutes. 2 hours, 34 minutes took to play the game. Snead, again, the number one star. Murphy, the number two star. Dumaine, the number three star in the game. And again, looking at it again, Curry, -2. Meyer, -1. Warren, -1. John Albert, -1. Hensick, -1. Bliss, -1. Green, -1. Nobody in the pluses. So again, I say it again. We're in trouble. We're down 2-0. But this series, in my opinion, and I hate to say it, we're still going to do these shows. In my opinion, this series is done. Now you heard Strack and you heard Melzek. Well, the crowd will get on. The crowd will boost the Walleye. You're going to have a sellout crowd at the Huntington Center. It's going to be a great crowd on hand, and they're gonna will their team. What are they gonna will? This team looked absolutely flatter than a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi in the summer sun. Looked as flat as a balloon after the circus rolls by. What else is there to say? This team, they're done for. I'm sorry to say it. So let's enjoy these last two, possibly three games. And if they do beat Idaho, they somehow come back some way, I will eat crow out of it. I will eat crow out of it. But the writing is on the wall. The paint is on the wall. It says what it says. Idaho, I think, is going to take this series. So, and you know for a fact that a lot of you that listen to this podcast and watch the games and everything like that now are going to be asking the question, are those tickets that are on Facebook going to be cheaper now? Because nobody wants to go. It's a possibility. As you're watching and listening to a special edition of All Andy Alford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight. Again, the Fish fall to the Idaho Steelheads by this final score of 3-0. If you have a question, comment on your feelings on tonight's game two of this and the last two games of the series, feel free to post a comment right here on the All Andy Alford page. Of course, we have one other series going on. The Eastern Conference Finals taking place in Herestro, Florida, as Newfoundland is battling the defending champion, the Florida Everblades, and the Blades getting game one by the score of 6-2 over Newfoundland. And then last night in double overtime, Florida beats Newfoundland 5-4. And they take a 2-0 series lead over the Florida Everblades. The next time that these teams will play will be Monday night in Honesto, Florida. That will be game 3. And they are doing a 3-4 situation. So they'll play 4 games straight up in Newfoundland after that. But Wednesday, Bank Tank, 7:15, game 3. Game 4 for the Newfoundland series will be Thursday at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock our time, 6 o'clock our time. And then, of course, the Fish will then play game 4 Friday night at the Bank Tank. So there's that for you. Getting some more into more of the realm tonight, of course, into the more hockey features, of course. The NHL playoffs fully in swing. As last night, I got a chance to watch in between the walleye games. I got a chance to watch the ending of the Florida Carolina game, and Keith and Matthew Tkachuk, back to back playoff game winning goals in overtime, and Florida's up 2-0 on Carolina. Who would have thought that Florida, after the upset over Boston, beating Toronto, and now on the verge of beating Carolina. Whew, unbelievable. Today, of course, Vegas getting a 3-2 overtime win over Dallas as they now take a 2-0 series lead in the Western Conference Finals. Game 3 tomorrow night in Florida, as it will be Carolina versus Florida, 8 o'clock on TNT. And then game 3 in Dallas, 8 o'clock drop on ESPN Tuesday night. So there's that for you. Also, got to make mention of this as well. The Blue Jackets are in talks to get a new coach. Of course, there's 4 possibility coaches that are out there. And one of them is a surprise by me. Of course, Peter Laviolette is the big name that they're thinking the Jackets are going to pick up. I think that Laviolette would be the best fit for this. But Jarmo Kekäläinen met with Mike Babcock, former coach of the Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings. Met with the Blue Jackets. And he has a strong possibility of getting a coaching job. But for me, I want to say this, and I'm going to be very, very honest with you guys. Kevin Dubnyk is out as GM in Toronto. Wouldn't it be nice if we can get him? I would love it. If we get rid of Jarmo, because that is the problem. Jarmo is the problem. It's not the coaching. It's the drafting and trading and moving of players. And who's the person that does most of that? The general manager. Dubnyk would be a great fit in Columbus. A young team like that, perfect. It would be perfect. Absolutely perfect. So there's that for you guys. Of course, we continue on in this playoff realm as we go into the NBA playoffs. Of course, tonight is game 3 between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. That will be tipped off here just a little bit ago at around 8:30. Right now it's Miami up 61-46 on the Boston Celtics. Right now at halftime, so and with Miami up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics right there. But of course, the big one today, of course, the PGA Championship, and Brooks Koepka clinches his 3rd career PGA Championship. Brooks, you know, part of the LIV Golf Tour, but he gets his 3rd PGA Championship, his 1st during the LIV Tour. Of course, got to make mention of this. The big story, of course, is the big play out of Block, who got the hole-in-one at number 15. You know, and this guy, he's 42 years old, PGA professional, and he makes it at 15. He'll be back to play next year in the PGA Championship. And he's going to also play with his son in a U.S. Open qualifier. Guys, for real. Guy is for real. So, love you guys. Welcome in again to All Andy Alford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you again for tuning in. And now we're going to get Wes Carr here in just a few moments right here on All Andy Alford to get his take on Game 1 and Game 2 right here on the All Andy Alford Network. Pleased to welcome in my guest at this time, of course, a good friend of the podcast and a helper of adding more listeners and viewers to the podcast, of course, and the one and only Wes Carr joining us in for his recap and his thoughts on what we witnessed. And Wes, I want to get your thoughts on Game 1 and Game 2 and what you saw and what you didn't like. A lot to take away from what we've seen these last 24 hours.
Right. First game, it pretty much started out all Idaho. I don't know if it's due to travel or anything for the walleye, but that's how it looked. Second period, they seemed to get back and play like they regularly do. But it's almost like Idaho plays exactly like Walleye, but they're just playing better.
Yeah, it looked to me like, you know, Toledo in Game 1 couldn't find their legs. They couldn't get going and couldn't get from the neutral zone into the offensive zone much. And every time that they had an opportunity, you know, Idaho had two guys on the walleye guy that had the puck. And it just, to me, it just felt like, you know, Toledo was not, they were playing Idaho's game in Game 1 compared to, you know, typical walleye hockey, which is, you know, getting the opportunities to put the puck in front of the net and getting an opportunity for rebounds and putting it into putting the garbage goals in. But this game last night just looked like, you know, they were playing with Idaho instead of playing against Idaho. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It was just tough. I mean, and their goalie, their shield there was stopping everything. Mm-hmm. So, it just seems like Walleye are playing against themselves.
Yeah, it felt like they were playing against themselves, but, you know, I got to give credit to Sebastian Cosa for, you know, stepping up to the plate. But to me, Wes, I was telling the listeners and the viewers this, it just felt like to me that, you know, the walleye were kind of hanging him out to dry in some aspects, because Idaho would just come right up onto the net and they would put the puck right on Cosa, and, you know, Toledo would just be watching the puck instead of watching the play develop. They'd be watching the puck more than anything else, and, you know, that cost them in those two goals, and that basically determined most of the game, because, and of course, like, the third goal was an empty netter. I mean, that was going to happen, but to not give him the opportunity to, you know, he was stepping up to the plate, he was doing the job, he was basically carrying that team last night, and that's how I felt about the game. Did you feel the same way a little bit?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a lot of that tonight too of Idaho just getting ahead of everybody and Walleye lagging behind. Mm-hmm. And while every time Walleye would have a chance to score, it's, I mean, they're, you know, all of Idaho's players would be in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they never had any, like, it just seemed like they didn't have any, like, just free shots like Idaho did mm-hmm. a lot of the game.
Yeah, and I taking it into today's game, to me, it felt like you were getting a carbon copy of what we saw the night before. However, you saw that Toledo was getting opportunities towards, but it was too little too late. They were down 3-0, and then they started to go at with this game, go and, you know, absolutely try to capitalize on scoring opportunities, but it was just too little too late. They were down 3-0. And I'm going to take it as this. I'm going to give you this thing for me, Wes. This series is basically going to be – this series was determined by two situations in this game, all right? You could take it as the penalty on Sabrango that cost them when he got caught with the tripping call, and that turned into the power play goal, which gave them the 3-0 overall win tonight. But for in my eyes, I look at it as the power play opportunity that Toledo had to make it a 2-1 hockey game, and they couldn't capitalize, and only putting two shots on steel, and that was just basically shots from the point where they weren't getting any traffic in front. It was that play, that series, that power play, to me, in my eyes, basically, it's determined what this series is going to be, and that is, I don't see any way, and I'm gonna tell you this, and this is being me. I don't see it. I don't see a path. I don't see a path anymore. I said at the beginning of the series, and we talked about this at the end of the Cincinnati series, that if it was Idaho versus Toledo, you would think I was leaning towards Idaho in six. It's leaning more and more towards Idaho, but it's not leaning towards it being six games. It could be possibly five. That's how I feel. But yeah. I want your take on that. What I just gave you?
Yeah. I'm with you on the power play. I mean, they wasted a minute passing, and that's the one. It gets kind of so annoying with that. I mean, it's like you're down, you're struggling to score. You need to shoot as much as you can during a power play when you have the advantage, and you just don't get the shots off.
Yeah, and you're putting opportunity after opportunity on. You're trying to get opportunities on net, and you're taking shots, and you're missing the net completely. You're putting more bet into a tip shot or a rebounded shot that will happen, but there's three or four blue jerseys that are around the net that are watching where this puck is going. They're watching the puck. They're watching the play develop. And what is Toledo doing? They're watching the puck, and that's all they're doing. They're watching the puck. They're not making the plays to stop from the puck from getting in front of Lethemann or in front of Kosa. You're watching the puck, and you're watching the player go right past you and into the back of the net. I mean, that's how it is. But in my eyes, that power play, if they would have capitalized on the power play, the momentum was in their favor. They would have scored. If they would have scored on that power play, I think, in my opinion, I think we would still be watching maybe an overtime period right now in this game. Instead, what happens? Two shots on net, and then the play develops, and then Sabrango gets then caught left-handed. He gives him the trip, and what happens? Idaho scores, and it's 3-0 Idaho, and that was the final. And I you could tell that the team was frustrated after the penalty call, because you could see Sabrango was just absolutely livid at that call. But he was beat. He was absolutely beat. It was going to be a breakaway. They were going to get on Lethemann. You know, it was just going to happen that way.
Right.
I mean, for me, what frustrates me is that, you know, I don't, you were watching the BCSN feed, like I was watching the BCSN feed. You hear Strack talk about, at the second intermission, about Bliss, Green, and Hawkins, the three contributors to this team scoring goals. And if those three score, then it trickles down to the rest of the team. It shouldn't be relying on those three guys. When you have veteran leadership in John Albert, you have veteran leadership in TJ Hensick, it shouldn't be relied on just those three core guys that have gotten you goals in the past. Don't get me wrong. If they score, that's great. But there's other players on this team besides those three guys. And when he said that on the broadcast, I was livid. Because, I mean, for me, if you looked at the second period and the third period, when there was opportunities, you know, Curdy and Meyer at the top of the point was putting the puck in front, trying to get opportunities, and none of the forwards were out front to, you know, back into a rebound or take a chance on a rebounded puck. I mean, that's how it was. But, I mean, I want your take. You know, do you think that it was – do you think that these three key guys, if these three key guys score, it trickles down? Or should it be a full team effort?
Usually the start of every game with scoring, and then everybody joins in. But, you know, it's everybody should be getting their shots in, and yeah, so it's not relying on those three.
Yeah.
We were at the watch party.
Okay.
So they were playing the Idaho feed.
Okay.
So it's difficult to hear a lot of commentary, because like any type of good save by Lethemann or whatever, then all the cowbells were going off.
Yeah.
It was drowning out any commentary. So
I didn't
get as much as if I was at home watching.
Okay. And by the way, you said you went to the watch party tonight. Was there a good crowd on hand tonight for the watch party?
It was decent. I don't think I wasn't there last night, but there seemed to be less than from like tickets sold yesterday.
Yeah. And you also had the problem with the UTBG playing the doubleheader and that game going late. And then by the time that the BGUT game was done, it was almost halfway through the second period. And so then you've got people that are just standing around at Fleetwood's as well as in the concourse watching the games on TV, and they're not really caring about college baseball because they came to watch the Walleye and watch this playoff series game because it was an important game one. It's game one of the playoff series. And yeah. They come down and they say, oh, there's a baseball game going on. You know, it was kind of weird planning in some aspect of that, but you know, it is what it is. But you know, it's good to see that, you know, that the people were showing up for the watch party. And for me, I was more worried if they were doing the watch party last night, with it being such a late start for a 9:10 p.m. start time, and if that game to not be done until almost like 12:15. I mean, yeah, it was a late night for a lot of people in some aspects.
Yeah.
So now, go ahead.
The one thing that happened, which I predicted, was because they, like every break, they would camera people would show the fans in the stands and I told Karina, I'm like, you know, it's, they're gonna show the fans and they won't get back to the game in time and a goal's gonna be scored or something. Mm-hmm. And the first goal happened. Lefferman made that awesome save, and then I think the cameraman were thinking that, you know, he saved it and were held on to it, and it was a timeout. And so they went to the crowd, and then when they got back, we see the Idaho player cheering because he just scored. Like, of course.
This was tonight's. This was for tonight's game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was an interesting play. I'll just tell you what happened. So, they were showing the crowd and everything like that, and then so what happened was the guy comes out of the penalty box after his penalty was called, comes out, gets the breakaway, Lethemann makes the save, but then he gets the rebound, goes out in front of him, and again, like I mentioned, Toledo was watching the puck instead of the player, and he puts it past John Lethemann to score. So he got his own rebound and scores. That tells you something.
Right.
That tells you something right there.
I didn't see any adjustments being made.
There was no adjustments made between game one and game two, in my opinion. Sure, you and I talked about last night with the Andrew Sturt situation. You know, he gets 5 minutes and a game misconduct. In the game last night, he gets fined by the league, but he doesn't get suspended because of it. So, you know, but, you know, Watson decides, you know what, I'm going to suspend you. I'm going to give you a healthy scratch, and I'm going to put John Albert in. And then that switches up the lines. And, you know, I felt like that was going to be a little bit, that could help a little bit with a veteran leadership, but in the end it didn't really help out at all because it was still the final score was 3-0 after what we witnessed the night before. So, I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, to me, I feel like, I hate to say it, but I feel like this we're really in trouble. I mean, we're really playing from behind in this series, because if you think about this, we could still win. We could possibly win three games. We have to win now 3 games at home. We have to figure out how to beat this goaltender, which is the first thing. If we can beat him, we can get pucks in the back of the net. That's great, but we also can't beat ourselves and letting Idaho go down the ice and score. And just, you know, and if we do those, if we can do those two things, we can at least get to a possible game five on Saturday night. But the question is, like I said, Toledo needed to win one of these games in Idaho. And in my opinion, I'm going to say it, they shit the bed. They honestly shit the bed in both games. The opportunity was there and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it, and yep. I don't. And that sets up now that Idaho just has to win one game in Toledo, no matter what the situation is, just to get the 6 or 7 possibly back in their home barn to win the Western Conference.
Yeah, you hope it's just the type of series where the home team wins every game, but then, you know, for the Walleye to have to win one back in Idaho. That's the only way for a champ or to get into the next round there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a big ask. It really is now. Yeah. Especially the nice thing is that you're coming home, and you get to sleep in your own bed. You'll follow your own routines again, and you know that's great. But at the same time too, you're now playing, this is the first time this whole playoff series that this team is now playing from behind. They have played from behind in every game, and they have played now this is the first time that they're playing from behind in the series, and they're now having the task. And we were talking about this last series. We know that they're going to have to play with adversity. They're going to have to step up to the plate. And this was the test for them. Last night was the test. They went lose the game one. They're down 1-0. We hoped that they were going to figure out and get some adversity and get a get off the mat and win and possibly play better. But in all reality, they were down for a 10 count no matter what the situation was in this game.
Yeah. Would have been nice to at least get one goal out of these two games.
Yeah, I mean, it would build momentum. It would absolutely build momentum. And I know you were down. We were down 3.
You at least have confidence in knowing that you can score on those goalies.
Exactly. You know, in breaking up the shutout. And had shutouts in 3 straight games. 2 against Toledo, the final game against Allen. He's on a 3-game shutout streak right now. And now he's coming back to the Huntington Center to face the crowd and to face a team, a Walleye team that's now really up against the wall. So hopefully Toledo can figure it out, put their big boy pants on, and do something. Because if they don't, and Idaho wins this next game, you know, it's an elimination game. And that's not what we want to see. That's definitely not what we want to see. Especially how good this team is. And to me, Wes, how they performed in these 2 games in Idaho, it kind of gave me the face of what this team looked like. And I know that they not a lot of them were on this team at the beginning of the season. But this team tonight, these 2 games that they played, this team reminded me of those teams at the beginning of the season that we all had questions about. Is this team a playoff team? Because does this show you that the Central Division is very, very weak with how good Cincinnati was and how good Indianapolis was? Because we just rolled over in 8 games, and now we play a Mountain Division team and be absolutely blown out 6-0 in scoring in the first 2 games, being outshot a total of 64-35, over double our shots. I mean, it shows you that, you know, there's a difference between the 2 divisions in the Western Conference.
Yeah, well, and there's always the comments of, well, you know, Idaho must be playing bad teams in their conference, and then, or, you know, to have such a great record, and then we play them, and obviously they're good. So.
Yeah. I mean, you play you're Idaho. You're the best team. You're the Brabham Cup champions. You're the Brabham Cup. You're the number one team in the league. Toledo, possibly the number two team, they're possibly the number two team in the league. These two are, you know, are 2 powerhouse teams, and they're fighting against each other. And it's proving right now, in all reality, that Idaho is the better team right now, as they're up 2-0 on the Fish. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. What is your one key that you hope to see in Game 3 on Wednesday night at the Bank Tank?
She ought to miss the plane. And then to be forced to play the other goalie.
Well, yeah, because they were saying in the broadcast tonight that the other goaltender that they usually have is the one that they've used all season is actually got called up by the Texas Stars, and they're in the playoff series right now with Milwaukee, as that series is tied at, like, I think 2 games apiece. And they could, if Texas gets eliminated by Milwaukee in the next couple days, because they're playing back-to-back games in Milwaukee, if they get eliminated, that they could get that goaltender back. And think about that. Sheets is the number 2 starter.
Yeah, it's almost.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Wes. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, I know. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Think about that for a second. Sheets is the number 2 guy. And the number 1 guy right now is in the AHL. Think about that for a second. If he comes, if Texas gets eliminated and he comes back, I could be thinking Toledo's going to get a taste of their own medicine. It could be a 4-game sweep. I'm putting that chip down there right now on the roulette wheel. I'm sorry to say that, Wes, but I have to put that chip down there, especially how if they're losing this bad, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, sad to say, hopefully home ice advantage will help them win game three here.
Hopefully.
To turn things around, but you know,
never know.
Have to see it.
Yeah, we'll have to see to believe, and that'll be Wednesday night, 7:15 at the Huntington Center, as the Fish will take on the Idaho Steelheads. Wes, will I count you in for another episode on Wednesday night to get Game 3's reaction?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. All right, Wes, it's been a pleasure. Again, Wes Carr joining me right here on All Andy Alford tonight, our post-game edition as we recap Games 1 and Games 2 of the Western Conference Final as our Fish are down 2-0 to the Idaho Steelheads in some aspects, but they're really down 2-0 to the Idaho Steelheads. Wes, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you again for calling in, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right, sounds good, Andy.
All right, Wes. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
That was Wes Carr joining me right here on All Andy Alford tonight, right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to end the podcast right there. We'll be back on the air for you guys on Wednesday night after the Walleye game against the Idaho Steelheads. So follow us on our Facebook page as well as on our Twitter account. So until I talk to you guys on Wednesday night, this is Andy Alford saying I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together, the game of life. Keep your stick on the ice, especially Brandon Hawkins. And to the teams you root for at home, and to my teams, go Walleye, get the job done. Down 2-0. Come on. Go Jackets. Go Tigers. Go Guardians and Reds. And go Hens. And more birdies, less bogeys, because victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great weekend. Rest of the weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday for another special post-game edition of All Andy Alford right here on the All Andy Alford Network. I love you guys. Talk to you then. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Alford Network right here on Spotify. You've listened to the show on the plethora of platforms, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker. However you listen to the show and whenever you listen to the show, thank you so much for tuning into the show. As always, you can follow our show on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as Facebook.com. All sports lines are provided by Barstool Sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit GamblingCenter.com. The podcasts are recorded right here on Spotify.